And isn't it good to have Pastor Wayne back? Let's just welcome him back. Thank you. When I was a kid, there was a terrifying experience that we used to go through from time to time. And it was when my dad was driving cross-country with the family. He was in the military, so we would get transferred from place to place. And sometimes we'd end up on these little two-lane highways, you know, and country roads. And, you know, sometimes you get behind a slow car or a slow truck, and what do? Well, you want to pass them. But when it's a little bit busy, their car's coming the other way. And just for a second, you have to pull into a lane that's going the other way, and cars hurtling towards you. And you have to pass quickly and get over. Well, you know, we would be asleep, because my dad loved to drive at night. We'd be asleep in the back, and we would feel the car kind of swerve over. And then my mom would call out my dad's name. His name is Felix. She'd go, "Felix!" You know, we kind of go like, we'd wake up, and then he'd pull back real fast, and then he'd hear, "Vroom!" go by. And then he'd do it again, then, "Vroom!" And then he would pull out, and then, you know, it was free, and you'd hear the engine just gun. And then my mom would call my dad's Mexican name, "Feliciano," you know. That's when everybody tightened up, and, you know, you were just waiting for that crash, you know, when you hit a car. And then finally he'd pull over, and then you'd hear, "Boom," you know, go by. And I just used to think, you know, if only there was a helicopter flying over us all the time, and the helicopter could see way in the future, see way, you know, way up the line. And if we had communication with that helicopter, the helicopter could tell us when it's safe to pass, when it's safe to, you know, to go by. That way we wouldn't have to live with the anxiety of the moment or risk a crash. You know, sometimes in our lives it's just like that. You know, we go through times where we face obstacles, we face decisions, relationships, career changes, just different things, and we have to make a choice. And we're not sure it's the right choice. We're taking a risk here. And we move over and boom, and we go, "Oh, I'm not sure about this." And somebody calls your name, "What are you doing?" You boom, you pull back. And if only we had a God who could see the future and we had communication with him, then he could tell us when to go. And you know what? That's exactly what the Bible says we have. We have a God who is very real, who knows the future. He knows tomorrows. He knows you head to toe. He knows everything about you, your dreams, desires, your mistakes, your past. And he knows the best decision you can make and the best timing for that decision. So when you have communication with this God, he can lead you to an awesome life. And that's why hearing the voice of God is so important, to be able to discern what he's saying. Now, we've been talking in this series about how to hear the voice of God. Today, we're going to talk about a slightly different angle, and that is, you know, when you're hearing various voices, how do you discern whether they're from God or not? Because every once in a while, someone will come up and say, "God told me to tell you that you're going to marry me," you know, or something like that, you know. Or you'll hear voices, signs, promptings, weird occurrences. You go, "I wonder if that's God telling me I should quit my job," or "I wonder if that's God." And folks, there are in this world counterfeit voices, voices that are not from God. So you got to figure out how to sift through them in life. They're all around us. As a matter of fact, we have some examples on video, so why don't you just take a look at these.
"Then let us begin. It's too difficult. I just can't seem to make contact. I don't feel his vibe. No, wait. I'm feeling something. Did he know someone by the name of Anna? Consuelo? Lucita? Julieta? Josefina? Linda? Maria?
Sisi, his mama. She is Maria.
Yes! Praise God, I knew he was with his mama.
Okay, God, you want me to talk to you?
Then talk back. Tell me what's going on. What should I do? Give me a signal.
I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. Oh, what's this joker doing now? Okay, all right, I'll try it your way. All right, Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life.
What the hell? Where are you? I got you!
What was that?
What was what?
That voice just now, what was it?
We didn't hear anything.
All right.
If you build it, he will come.
You know, I always think of that, those voices, and the one most likely to be God was the last one because he was asking him to build a baseball field. So God and baseball, very closely related, and so, you know, if God says build a baseball field, could be him, you know, could be him. He wants to do some serious character work on that field for you, and so, but you get the idea though, folks. I mean, you know, there's astrology, there's fortune cookies, palm readers, tarot cards, Ouija boards, spiritual friends or spiritist friends. I mean, there's all different ways that we hear all these words or, you know, these things that are supposedly mystical or from the other world or from God. And we have to be able to discern through this. Well, let's look at what God says about it in your notes. If you pull it out, right at the top of your notes, there's a verse from 1 John 4:1. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Underline, do not believe and test the spirits. God is saying that you do not just accept any message that comes to you, even if a person says, this is from God. This is a voice of God. God is trying to tell you, you don't accept it right off, but you have to test the spirits. You have to confirm what God is saying to you. Now, before we talk about how to test it, let's talk about where counterfeit voices come from, because that's kind of important. They come from three areas. The first one is this, and you write this in, a fallen world. A fallen world. The Bible says that God created mankind in his image. And part of what that means is that we were designed to have a close personal relationship with the Father. But the first man and woman sinned and broke mankind's relationship with God. So everybody born is born with a broken relationship with God. Look at what it says in Romans 3:23. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice how many have sinned? All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And as we go through life, we just kind of sense this. And people in different ways try to reconnect with God. And they don't always follow God's way. A lot of times they will come up with their own kind of self-made religion or self-centered spirituality. And you can always tell because at the basis of a fallen world's message, it's usually God wants you to be happy, doesn't he? God wants you to be happy and rich and successful at all costs. I mean, you'll never have a palm reader read your palm and then scream and then run away from you and, you know, not collect, give you your money back. No, they'll say, oh yeah, I see some good things happening in your life. You know, or, you know, they always give you good messages, real self-centered voices that say, well, this is how you can please God, as long as you're happy. There's another source, and that's us. Put our ability to mishear or make up God's voice. Mishear or make up God's voice. Now, the first voices come from the outside, but this voice comes from within us. Look at Ezekiel 13, verses 2 and 3, and let's read that together. Ready? Go. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Underline their own imagination and their f- follow their own spirit. You see, because we are fallen, because we're not perfect, we all have the potential to make up God's word. To say, I think God's saying this. You say, oh, would people really do that? Oh, yeah, they would. They would say, you know, I think God is saying this. Why is that? Because there are times, folks, when we want something so bad, we will look for any kind of sign to validate, you know, from God. And that's when it becomes a counterfeit voice. We say, I think God is saying this to me, like around playoff season. Most men get a word from God. It's time to buy the big screen TV, you know. You know, I woke up this morning and the first thing I saw was an ad for, you know, for big screen TV. I think God's trying to tell me something, you know. And so why? So what are you talking about? Say, I'll tell you what. If God stops me, then I won't buy it. You know, so I'm going to drive down there. And if he stops me, then I won't buy it. And it's like a word from God. Or another one is, you know, when a person says, you know, there's somebody new in the office and she or he is like gorgeous. And you just go, you know, I'm feeling a call of God to reach out to this person. I don't know what it is. I think I need to start talking to them and invite them to lunch or something. And you just notice this person always has an outreach to the incredibly good looking, you know, and they're just like, what is it about it? Because sometimes we want something so bad, we create a counterfeit voice by saying, I think God wants this for me. But it's really coming from us. And sometimes even when God is trying to speak to us, we mishear him. Because, again, we're fallen. We have that potential. And then the third source is a subtle and convincing enemy. A subtle and convincing enemy. That's Satan. You know, the Bible talks about these guys called false apostles. They had problems with them in the New Testament church. They would come through and they would preach all kinds of messages that were counterfeit, that were wrong. They would put down, you know, other apostles, but they were so convincing. They were very powerful. We talked about them a couple of midweeks ago. You know, very powerful, so much so that the Apostle Paul wrote against them in the book of Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians 11, he says this about them. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. These guys were so smooth. They mixed just enough truth with lies to get away with what they were doing. Folks, one of the things you got to remember about Satan is he is called the father of lies. And he will do anything he can to confuse you, to cause you to compromise. You say, well, wait a second. Can Satan really speak into my life? Well, remember when Jesus in the Bible was being tempted by Satan? Satan was actually interacting with him and challenging him verbally. And Jesus was reacting or responding to him to avoid the temptation. Well, if that's true, then he can do that in our lives. He can be a voice in our life, tell you to do something. Now, but what form will the voice come in? Satan will not say, I want you to drink blood and kill animals and go, you know, declare yourself a Satanist. He won't do that. What he'll say is, oh, come on, you deserve this. You should have gotten that promotion. You need to make a stink about this. Or you say, yeah, compromise. Yeah, it's a compromise, but come on, God's really not going to hold you accountable for these small sins. It's not that big a deal. Besides, times have changed. The Bible's outdated. Everybody's doing it. And so Satan will try to just convince you to compromise like an angel of light. He'll say, after all, you're the most important thing, right? And your happiness. And so he'll push that in that way. So you have the world, all these pseudo-religious, you know, voices coming at you that are counterfeit. Then we have ourselves fallen and with the potential to make up our own counterfeit voices. And then we have Satan planting very intentional counterfeit voices in our lives. So to get through these, we really need an accurate compass to navigate and to find and to pinpoint God's voice in our lives so that we're sure we're doing what he wants us to do. Well, how do we do that? Well, we need an accurate compass. And number one, you can write this in. I need to marinate my heart and mind with God's word. That's right, marinate. Makes you hungry, I know. Now, I know that as we've gone through this series, just about every message has had at least one point on the word of God, on hearing the word of God. Well, this verse tells you why that's so important when it comes to hearing God, including the Bible. Look at 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Underline from God by the Holy Spirit. What that verse tells us is that the Bible itself did not originate in a fallen world. The Bible does not originate in the mind of fallen men. The Bible originated in the mind of God, and God, using His Holy Spirit, superintended over a process whereby that word was penned by human authors. And so we got what was in the mind of God. Now, some people say, but anytime men are involved, they're going to make mistakes. Yes, except this. When God's involved, He can superintend and protect the process of transmission so that we can be sure that what we have in our hands is an accurate compass of truth. And that's exactly what we have. We have the Word of God. Accurate compass. So what do we do with it? Okay, well, we've got to marinate our heart and our mind in this. Now, let me tell you what I mean. You know, sometimes when you're cooking like a shoyu dish or a teriyaki dish, and you wait till the last minute to read the instructions, and you go, oh, I was supposed to marinate this overnight. And you say, oh, I'll just stick it in the fridge for half an hour and just put in the sauce, and then I'll cook it. Well, if you do it that way, no matter, you know, how strong your sauce is, you're only going to have a tinge of the taste of that sauce in the dish or whatever you're doing. But if you were to marinate it overnight the way you're supposed to, then you will have a full-flavored dish every single bite. Folks, you know what we do with the Word of God sometimes? We do real quick flybys, even when we do journals. You know, we do a quick flyby. We read it, oh, there's my verse. We write something, okay, boom, I'm done. All right, didn't I check my box? I'm done for the day. Do a quick flyby, and you know what? If you do that, that's fine. You'll have like a little tinge of the voice of God in your life. But if you learn to marinate your heart and mind in the Word of God daily, it's what the Bible calls meditating. Just marinate yourself in the truth of God all day long. What's going to happen is every emotion, every thought, every motive, every desire in your life is going to be fully flavored with the voice of God. You're just going to feel His voice in all that you do. Well, how do you do that? Let me just give you one practical way to marinate yourself in the Word of God. Okay? Well, you know, what you do is, when you're doing your journal, as you go through the week and there's, say, one verse that just stands out to you, that just really resonates with where you're at, or the particular situation you're dealing with, you take that verse and you write it on an index card, okay? And then you just read it and say, I'm going to memorize this week. And then you put it in your car when you're driving to work. If you get in an accident, throw it out the window, you know, so you won't be reading the Bible while you get us in trouble. You know, so, and then take that card to your office and read it through. Put it someplace where you see it all the time. And you might even go for like a meditation walk on Sunday afternoon. Just go for a walk for half an hour, or even a run if you're a runner. Just take that verse with you, just read it through, and just say, Lord, help this verse to penetrate just my soul and my heart. Let this just penetrate me deeply. I want to believe this. I want to trust what you say here. I want to take action on this in my life. And when you meditate or marinate yourself in the Word of God, it becomes a part of you. The Holy Spirit just takes it down deep into you, and all of a sudden it becomes just holy, just a part of how you think. Now, you do that week after week, one verse at a time, just marinate in the Word of God, and a couple of things happen. The first thing is this. It sets up guard posts to fence out lies. Guard posts to fence out lies. You know, when you're trying to decide what God wants you to do, a course of action, even an answer to a question, there's a way to do it. And when you're not sure, by using guard posts. Now, guard posts are things that we know God says for sure. That's what a guard post is. We know this for sure about God. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're in an office situation where you're being asked to do something that's unethical. It may not be unlawful, it might be, but it's definitely unethical. Your boss is doing certain things, you know, some things are happening in the office. You're wondering what to do about it. And you say, God, just give me some direction. Speak to me on this. Well, then what you do is you drop down your guard posts. Number one guard post, boom, the Bible says that you should have integrity. That if it involves deception or dishonesty, you should have no part of it. So you know you have to stand for what is right. You go, oh gosh, but I hate this boss. Well, let's put another guard post, boom. Guard post says you're not allowed to hate. Because the Bible says we are to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Well, can I at least get revenge? Well, boom. The Bible says that never to return evil for evil, for vengeance is the Lord's. Well, then I'm not going to say anything. Oh, no. Boom. The Bible says speak the truth in love because we are supposed to represent the truth and speak it. Say, well, then I'm going to wait until the right time forever. I'm just not going to say anything. Well, boom. The Bible says do not let the sun go down on your anger. That is, you deal with things that are stirring in your heart before they become bitterness. Or the Bible says before they become a foothold for the devil. And so you have all these guard posts down, integrity and love and not returning evil for evil and speaking the truth in love and dealing with it quickly. And so you say, well, I know my answer is somewhere in here, surrounded by the truth of God. I know what he doesn't want me to do. So I know the answer is lies somewhere in here. And it's true for every situation. If it's about relationships, boom, God wants us to have relationships that are pure in his eyes. First guard post, and then you can go with spiritual compatibility and all the guard posts that are in the Bible. What does God want me to do? And so you set up those guard posts, and what it does is it guards you from error. It fences out the lies so that you can begin to discern God's voice. The next thing that marinating does is this, and you can write it in. It helps me fine-tune my spiritual ears to my Father's voice. Fine-tune. In Romans 12, it talks about how we can be sure of God's will. Why don't we read Romans 12:2 together? Ready? Go. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Underline, will be able. He says you will be able to know exactly what he wants you to do. You see, when you marinate yourself in God's word, what it does, it begins to renew the way that you think, and it starts to fine-tune your mind to the voice of God. You just recognize his voice because you're tuned into it, because you know how God is and how he thinks, because the word is just running through you. I love the story of this Indian. There's an American Indian that was taken to New York City for the first time by a friend. And as they walked through the city, it was loud. I mean, there were taxis and voices and construction and vendors. I mean, all kinds of noise, just the typical noise of a big city. And as they were walking, the American Indian was just fascinated. And then he stopped and he says, I hear a cricket. And his friend said, what? What are you talking about? It's so loud here. The Indian says, No, I hear a cricket. And he just started walking along the side and he reached into a crevice, pulled out a tiny cricket, a live cricket. And the guy said, wow. How did you do that with this din and all this noise? He says, you know what? You hear what your ears are tuned into. And then the Indian said, watch this. And he pulled out a few coins and he threw it on the ground. And within 20 feet, every head stopped and turned. Boom. You know, just looked around. He said, see, folks, whatever we're tuned into is what we hear. And so when you begin to marinate yourself with the Word of God, what it does is it just starts to tune you in to his voice. So you set up your guard post. You say, I know for sure what God doesn't want me to do, what he wants me to do. The answer is somewhere in here. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, now I hear him here. This is what he wants me to do. I'm sure this is his voice. This is the course of action to take. Because you've marinated yourself with his word. It makes that possible. Number two, how can we be sure it's God? I need to confirm God's voice with others that love God. With others that love God. In the Bible, there's a spiritual gift called the gift of prophecy. Now, it's a miraculous gift, and it's a wonderful gift. God blesses it. The Holy Spirit gives it to people, whoever he wills. He will bless a person with that gift. And the way it works is that God will spontaneously give you a message that was meant for somebody else. And it's meant to encourage them, to comfort them, to lift them, build them up in the Lord. And so that's a special gift that he gives us. However, even with that gift, God gives us a kind of guardrails. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. He's talking about a church service, and if two or three prophets at a time, or you know, two or three speak in a service, he says, oh, you got to weigh what's being said. He's saying, even with the gift of prophecy, we have to run it by somebody else for confirmation. So when a person says, you know, God has given me a message, you say, okay, wait a second, you got to run it by us. And let's make sure that we bring confirmation to this word. Because we are not perfect, we all have the potential to mishear God. All have that potential to mix in a little human motive with it and come out with something different. And so that is why when you think God wants you to do something, you have to be sure to run it by somebody else so that you get another set of eyes on it just to confirm it. Why? Because, write this in, it guards me from me. M-E, capital M-E, underline it, circle it, put exclamation points there. Okay? It guards you from you. Why, folks? Because we are so impressionable. We are so given to impressions. Have you ever decided to buy like a new car, or you're thinking about buying a new car, and you start doing research on it? For a while, I wanted to get a Toyota Highlander, because I wanted a smaller SUV kind of thing for surfboards and stuff. And all of a sudden, when I started researching it, when I went driving, I saw them everywhere. I mean, I said, whoa, I didn't know there were so many around. Look, there's the gold, there's the black, there's, you know, and there's this one with this size engine and this. All of a sudden, you start to see, and I said, gosh, I wonder if that's like a sign from God, you know, because all of a sudden, I'm just seeing it everywhere. Well, because we're just so impressionable, folks. When we want something so bad, you know. Also, falling in love may be one of the greatest areas where we distort the voice of God. Again, what we do is we start to fall in love, and people around us saying, no, I'm not sure that's a good idea. And we're sitting there saying, God, please, just tell me what you want me to do. And you're at a stoplight. You know, God, tell me what you want me to do. And then the light turns green. You go, God said yes. You know, it's just, no, he said, drive your car through the intersection, you know, and not go out with this guy, you know. And so we want it so bad that we'll just create these things. You know, there's one more thing that happens with people sometimes when they fail. They're in a place where they're failing or things are getting tough or a difficult situation comes up. And they go, I feel God calling me to another job. I feel God calling me to another church. I feel God calling me to. And actually, the fact is God wants you to stay there and to deal with an issue. And it's a difficult one. And he'll give you the courage and resources to do it. But it's so hard. You say, no, God's calling me. And you create a counterfeit voice. And you just leave instead of dealing and growing through a situation that he wants you to grow through. So it guards you from you. So you got to run things through people, especially the big decisions, relationships, career changes, life changes. No, when I became a pastor, I had been a youth director for 15 years in Youth for Christ, which I loved, absolutely loved. And leaving Youth for Christ was one of the hardest things I'd ever done. I was sure that God had moved me on, though, because in my heart, he was doing a work. It was really clear, but he was detaching me from that mission. I didn't know what he wanted me to do yet, though. So I said, Lord, you got to be clear on this. So could you please just tell me? So I got on my knees one night in my living room, and I said, God, I'm not going to leave my knees till you tell me what you want me to do next. And so I sat there and prayed, and I fell asleep. You know, great saint. Fell asleep, woke up, prayed some more, fell asleep. Then my wife comes in about 7:30, and she said, well, did God speak to you? I said, no. And then the phone rings, 7:30 in the morning. And the guy says, my name's Steve, calling from California. I've had your name on my desk for about a year. And I'm a district superintendent for the Evangelical Free Church of America, Chuck Swindoll's denomination. And he says, I'm looking for church planners. And I thought, oh. You know, I says, I just prayed all night. And I said, you know, I just prayed all night for direction. And he said, praise God. He says, you know what? Let's just pray about this together. He was coming in about 3 months. So in that 3 months, I prayed. I called two of my mentors and asked them what they thought. I called two of my professors from seminary and asked them what they thought. I called my parents. I called my best friend. I said, what do you guys think about this? Here's the idea. And all of them said, yeah, you know what? I think we really see God's hand in this. And sure enough, you know, we planted a church, had one of the richest experiences of my life. Same thing, folks. When you sense God calling you, you ask him to speak, he will. Then you bring confirmation with people who love God. By the way, people who love God. Guys, if you're going for that big screen TV and you ask all your sports buddies, do you think this is God? They'll go, oh yeah, I'll bring the chips. You know, it's God. So you ask people who love God, not just people who will tell you what you want to hear. That's why you need those friends with integrity who will tell you the truth. And that'll protect you and discern God's voice. And then number three, I need to bring a steerable heart to my communication with God. This is about the posture of your heart. You want to really be able to discern God's voice, steerable heart. And let me just tell you, just on a personal level, I've been in ministry about 30 years. And I've seen a lot of people hurt the kingdom, hurt others, by coming along and saying, God told me this. God called me to do this. God this, God that. I've seen a lot of people do that. And probably the one defining thing that seems to stand out as in discerning whether they were really of God or not was the amount of humility that was in their life and character when they made those statements. If you have a person coming up and they say, God told me to tell you, the voice of God is saying to you today, and all this, be real careful. Because if they hold that voice or that gift with arrogance, you can't trust it. If they mix in any kind of insecurity or bad motivation, you can't trust it. Well, folks, if that's true when you're discerning people's voice, then even more so for us. If we're trying to hear the voice of God accurately, you've got to bring a humble, steerable heart. Look at what God says in Isaiah 66. Read that. Ready? Go. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. What God is saying is he has a soft spot in his heart for people who are humble, for people who deal with their sin in an authentic way, that's a contrite heart, and who are eager to obey what God says. That's what it means, tremble at his word. You're eager to obey what he says. You're humble, you deal authentically with sin, and you're eager to obey. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, folks. God has lots of grace. But you're dealing with your sin. You're dealing with it, and you're eager to obey him. When you bring that kind of heart to God, he can really begin to speak to you and lead you. Because a couple of things will be true. Write this in. I will obey even when I don't want to. And write the word trust. See, you trust God so much that even when he tells you to do something that you don't feel like doing, you're going to do it because you know he loves you and you know he knows better because he can see ahead. Remember, when you're trying to pass, he can see ahead. He can see a crash coming. So even when you don't feel like it, you'll say, I'm just going to obey. I'm going to trust you, Lord. This is especially true in relationships. Just a word to some of you in relationships. Sometimes we get into relationships that aren't good for us. Maybe we were warned by some friends in the beginning. Maybe we were warned by seeing somebody. They said, well, he said he was a Christian. No, he works by a church. You know, he drives by it. He doesn't go to church. You know, he says, well, I work by a church. Does that qualify? And he's so good looking. It must have been good enough, you know. And sometimes we let our hearts lead us instead of our spirit and our mind, and our emotions just overwhelm us. We get into bad relationships. And you know what? God has been telling you to get out of that relationship. When you started struggling spiritually, when you started getting into things you wish you hadn't gotten into, you didn't think you would, when the relationship took a turn and your life just started dipping. You know, if God brings somebody into your life, it's going to create the best version of you. Because that person is going to compliment you, they're going to cheer you on, they're going to be a co-partner with you in your walk with God, not somebody who slows you down and drags you and pulls you away from God. And so God may have told you several times through people, through his word, come on, break this off. And his word to you might be today, you know what, this relationship is not the right thing. It wasn't the right thing. You need to break it off and go a different way and set up your guard posts and then let me guide you into the next step in this relationship. And you'll be sitting there saying, I don't feel like doing it. Exactly. If you have a steerable heart, you have to say, God, I don't feel it, but I trust you. And I'm going to trust you with that area, and you let him lead you through it. The second thing that happens when we have a steerable heart is I will obey when life is in a thick fog or even chaos. And then you can write the word faithfulness there. We trust him, and then we're faithful to him, even when it seems like we shouldn't be. Because you see, there are times when things are so confusing. They are so hurtful. They're so reactive. And we're trying to discern God's voice and what to do in a situation. But the truth is, it's so foggy and confusing. We say, God, I don't even know which way is up. I don't even know where to begin to figure out how to get out of this emotional fog. I don't even feel like taking a step forward. You know, I heard a story of a pastor who had a mentor of his congregation who had just gotten his pilot's license. He said, "Pastor, I'll take you up." You know, so the pastor says, "Okay." So they get in a Cessna and they're flying. He says, "Let me show you something that was on the exam." And he puts the plane into a death spiral. Okay, so the plane, a death spiral is when the plane loses flight, starts tumbling to the earth. And if you look outside the windshield, you just see the ground, the sky, the ground, the sky, the ground, the sky, just boom, 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 like this. And the pilot pulls out of it, and then he talks to what used to be a friend, you know, and he says, "You know, they taught us in school that when you're pulling out of a death spiral, the biggest mistake you can make is looking out of the windshield. Because if you look out of the windshield, you're trying to react to where you're going, but it's so confusing, you don't know what to do." He says, "So what they train you to do is to look at the controls." They say, "Look at the controls. Don't look out the windshield. The plane's spinning this way. Give it some right rudder. Then it comes out of the spin. Okay, look at where the nose is. Just pull up and then get that wind over the wings and you'll achieve flight again." He says, "You look at the controls and you'll make it." Well, sometimes, folks, when we're in situations that are foggy like that or chaotic, if you just look at the situation and say, "I don't know what to do or who to talk to first or what to do," and your emotions are there, the hurt is there, you're just not sure. And sometimes you're just paralyzed with indecision. "I'm just not going to do anything." God says, "No. What you do is you look at the controls." The controls are right here. Right here. What you do is just look at the controls and each day just do one thing. Take one step at a time. One step at a time. Stay loving. Stay kind, be forgiving, have integrity. Just look at the controls, take one step at a time. And he says, as you do that, he will slowly stop the spin, he'll get the wind over the wings again, and you'll be able to pull out and get out of that fog, one step at a time. The last key thought there in your notes, and you can write this in: God won't steer the boat unless you row it. God won't steer the boat unless you row it. In other words, what we're saying is, you have to bring a searable heart to God, but you also have to bring an obedient heart to God. And you have to say, "God, you know what? I am willing to take action on what you want me to do." And as you begin to take those first steps of action and obedience, then all of a sudden you'll just feel your life just kind of swing this way and then just start going exactly where God wants it to go. As you obey one step at a time, he'll lead you to that. So let me ask you this morning. You know, some of you are facing big challenges and big decisions. Or some of you in your course, you know, on the journey of life are behind a big truck and you're thinking of passing, maybe a career change. Maybe you're thinking of going to the mainland or switching churches or starting a relationship or ending one. How do you know what God's voice is? Well, what you need to do, some of you need to go out and start marinating. You need to go out and marinate in God's word and maybe find that one scripture this week or maybe from this talk that just says, "You know, this really resonates with where I'm at. I'm going to put this on a card. I'm going to memorize this. Just let this flow through me all week long. Just marinate in this so that I can begin that process." Some of you need to throw up some guardrails because you've been making decisions that are nuts. You know, without regard to what God thinks. You got to put your guard posts down so that you know for sure what God says about certain things. Some of you have made some decisions and you haven't run them by anybody, or everybody around you has been saying, "That is just unwise." Maybe you need to rethink about what you're going to do about that. And some of you need to bring a steerable heart. You know, the biggest mistake that people make in regards to hearing God's voice, first of all, they say, "I know it's violating God's word. Too bad." Or they'll say, "You know what? People around me are saying I'm stupid, but hey, I'm not going to listen to them." Or they'll say, "You know what, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do." They don't have a steerable heart. You do that, you're really cutting yourself off from God and you're on your own. Vroom, remember? And don't, just setting yourself up for a crash. On the other hand, you say, okay, God, today, I'm going to really start the guard posts, and sensing, tuning into your voice, going to marinate. Today, I'm going to call a friend, check up with this big decision I was going to make. And today, Lord, man, I want to bring a humble heart. And even if you tell me something I don't want to do, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do it anyway. When you do that, God will lead you to a life that is filled with his truth, filled with his love, and you'll have an impact with people wherever you are and in the world. Amen? Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it originates in your heart and mind and that your Holy Spirit superintended over that process, that put it into our hands. Father, forgive us for the times when we just don't realize and we forget that the greatest tool, the greatest key to not only hearing your voice, but discerning false voices is right in our hands. So, Father, help us to marinate, to meditate on those truths and let them run down deep into our souls. And then, Father, we just pray for that wisdom that we need. Some of us, Lord, have made bad choices, and we thank you that your grace is available to forgive us and cleanse us. But help us, Lord, reverse those, to do what we know for sure you want us to do, to tune in our ears. Lord, there are people here who need your voice today. They need direction on a relationship. They need to know for sure what you say. So, Lord, speak to them, please. Speak to them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll raise up all around us those people that we trust, that will tell us the truth, that we can bring confirmation of direction to. And Lord, help us not to avoid them. Sometimes we'll do that too. Help us to go to the people we know will tell us the truth and give us good wisdom. Most of all, Lord, help us to keep humble hearts, because Father, we want to have steerable hearts, the kind that you love and that you want to lead and speak into and guide. Father, we know we can trust you and we want to be faithful to you. So fill us with your Spirit this morning. And Lord, if there's anybody in a hard spot today, somebody flying in the fog, just flying in the blind, or maybe even in a death spiral, oh God, bring their eyes to the controls and help them to pull out with your help. Please, because we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord just a clap on.
God is the strength.
God's word. Have a great day.
God is the strength.